بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, I was talking about the problem with divorcing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His creation, or attempting to do that in the way we teach. And as I said, the biggest calamity and the biggest casualty of that is the loss of the sense of accountability that we have to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that doesn't change anything. We are still accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we then, because we don't have the sense of accountability, we live our lives as if we are not accountable. And that is calamitous, because that is the root cause of all the injustice and all the suffering by humans and others that we are seeing in the world. If you think about the people who are behind this suffering, it is a handful of billionaires who are doing everything in their power to corner resources and to become wealthier and wealthier by doing that. And they're doing that using science as a tool. They're doing that using political leaders as tools. They're doing that using militaries as tools. Everything is subservient to them. They work behind the scenes. We see the faces of political leaders, of military leaders, of academicians and so on and so forth, but all of these, the people behind them are the handful of billionaires. And this is not any conspiracy theory. This is the actual reality of the world today. Now, if you look at those people, these people act and live as if they are not accountable to anybody on the face of the planet. And to all intents and purposes, as far as this life is concerned, as far as the world is concerned, that is actually true. These people are not questionable by anybody. They are not accountable to anybody. They do what they want. And their power, their money buys them power, their money buys them authority, and they use it with complete disdain for anyone and everyone. And that is how you have technologies which are enormously polluting. You have people who are cutting down and burning irreplaceable rainforests in South America and Brazil and elsewhere. They already finished off North America. Now they're in South America. They've already finished off Europe. You have people who are fishing the oceans in a way which completely destroys all aquatic and marine life. You have tar sands which are being mined for oil, which creates enormous amount of pollution. You have species which are being driven to extinction literally as we speak. So the earth is groaning under the pressure and groaning under this violence, where we are polluting the air, we are polluting the seas, we are polluting water, we are polluting the earth, we are creating mountains of plastic and then just dumping it somewhere. All kinds of things. I mean, I can list many more of these things, but I'm not going to do that, because just think of it. Or let me list one or two more. Now, take, for example, food production. We have situations where, and this has been going on forever, we have situations where people are committing suicide because of starvation. In African countries, in Asian countries, in my country, India itself, thousands, literally hundreds of thousands of farmers have committed suicide because they had taken loans and they can't pay them back, and so they're starving and they committed suicide. Hundreds of thousands of people. Nothing happens. Nothing changes. And what's the reason for that? Because nobody pays a price. The people who are driving them to that are the same people who in Europe, because and America for that matter, because farming is done using a lot of high technology, So therefore there's enormous productivity of the farm, but there is hardly any employment of labor because it's all mechanized. So people are given, big farmers are actually paid not to grow food, because it will bring down the global prices of commodities. Now, if you say to them, why don't you produce the food and give it away free? You know, don't put it in the market, so it can't bring down the price of global commodities. Give it away free to people who are starving in the Sudan or in Somalia or India or wherever. They won't do that because, again, the same issue of saying that even if it is given free, it will affect the overall global price. And global price being affected means that these people who are sitting on the top of the pile, their wealth is affected. Similarly, take all the wars that are happening. Take, for example, you know, terrorist organizations like ISIS and so on, who and so many others, who are creating so much of havoc. Just ask a simple question and say, how do they get the money? Where do they get the money to buy weapons? And so, first of all, it's a question of transfers of billions of dollars. How does that happen? If you want to pay $5,000 as charity to an organization, you have to answer 20 questions. But here are people, obviously, who are transferring billions of dollars back and forth. How is it happening? Number one. Number two is, who is selling them those weapons? ISIS doesn't make the weapons. Whichever organization is there, they are not manufacturing weapons. So somebody is selling them weapons. Who is that? How come all the Interpol and all the police organizations and all the, so-called law enforcement authorities cannot catch the weapon suppliers? Let the weapons dry up and there is no war. But then if that happens, then how do the people who are running the weapons factories, and all of those are in the so-called developed countries, how do they make money? Think about, how does a person who is working in a factory which is manufacturing weapons of mass destruction, this is an engineer, highly qualified engineer, he went to university, he qualified, he graduated, and then he goes to work in a weapons company, he's building weapons of mass destruction. What does he think people will do with that, those who buy it? Now, they're not going to buy, they don't buy that to go and sell it and buy ice cream. What do they buy it for? Don't people know that here are these people who are highly educated, they're going and working there. The whole issue is that all of this happens because we believe that all we need to do is live our lives the way we want, and that's the end of the story, and we can be happy and contented, and we all go home. Well, sorry to say, that's not how it works. There is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the equation, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold us accountable. Now, why does that message not go through? Because we don't ever teach it. On the other hand, I'm not saying that necessarily we must teach about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a threatening way. I'm saying we must teach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, we must teach about the creation and link the creation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to nature, not to earth, not to that some higher power, not to the creator, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. This is what we need to do. We need to teach the truth. And the truth is that this world is not an accident. The truth is that this world was created by a creator who created it for a particular purpose. And what is the purpose he created it for? So that we recognize his signs in the creation. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِّأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Clearly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that, right? So therefore, that is what we need to do. Bring it back. Repair this fissure, repair this fracture. Put Allah into the equation because He is in it anyway. Recognize the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Teach in a way where people can recognize the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. We need to rethink, rewrite our textbooks, and we need to do that. I'm not talking about the so-called Islamization of knowledge that people talk about. And then all you find them doing is to say, instead of saying A for apple, they say A for Allah. So on and so forth. That's just superficial. I'm talking about really and truly looking at the glory and majesty of Allah and showing it up as the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, I strongly recommend, please let us think about that, especially those who are in the business, in the profession of education. Think about how can you bring about some substantial, meaningful change in the way that we teach science and technology and in the way that we teach religion. So people in the madaris, as well as people in the schools, we need to sit together, put our minds together and create a system that works. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك ورحمة الله.